L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Friday morning. NFL released their schedule last night, and the Titans will begin late on a Monday night in Denver versus the Broncos. That game will not kick off till just past 9 o'clock p.m. Central Time. And with all of that being said, Jeremy Fowler, who is ESPN's senior NFL reporter, he is on the line with us. Jeremy, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
We're doing good. I want to run this by you to start this off. There are two intriguing teams in the AFC that have been good, consistently good, for a good while. We just expect them every year to be right in the thick of things, especially New England. But the other team is Pittsburgh. But now there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of question marks on really what they are right now heading into this season as we sit here. I get it. It's just May. But how would you answer that if Jared Stidham is indeed the starting quarterback for New England? What are the Patriots and what are the Steelers this year, in your opinion?
Well, they're unknowns in some ways. Although the Steelers, much of it hinges on how Ben Roethlisberger responds from his elbow injury, where he's right on track as far as I've heard, but he has to go out there and try to throw with velocity in live practice reps and game reps. So once he clears that hurdle, I do like the Steelers as a playoff contender. The schedule sets up nicely. They don't. It looks on paper at least they don't have a gauntlet, and so it's set up for them to be in the playoff push. Mike Tomlin has never lost more than 8 games in a season. So they'll always be in the mix. And New England, they're all in on Jared Stidham and the other quarterbacks they have in that room. I mean, I think everybody's still a little shocked that they haven't added more to the quarterback room post Tom Brady. But they got a young player they like on a rookie contract, and they're going to be competitive and strong on defense. They've added a few weapons on offense, but it's really hard to tell how they're going to look on that side of the ball. But most people are betting on Bill Belichick's pedigree to at least get the most out of that team.
So I think you're not going to get pushback from anybody that KC and Baltimore right now, I think everybody believes, are the cream of the crop in the AFC. In your opinion, who's third?
Ooh, that's a good question. So I would say, let's see, we got, I might go Buffalo,
Okay.
I like they're kind of walking and talking like contenders right now. A lot depends on Josh Allen, but I think the first half of the schedule sets up nicely for him, and that will boost his confidence. They're expecting him to make a jump, and that's why they went and got Stephon Diggs. Defense is really solid. There are really no holes. So everybody they drafted was more to provide competition, So, I like Buffalo in that spot. I like, the AFC West is going to look a lot different than it did a year ago, I think. Everybody's loaded up on offense to try to combat the Chiefs. That's going to be a lot of fun. I expect at least one of those teams out of the West to be above 500. For all Bill O'Brien's crazy moves as the GM and head coach, I still like their roster's chances in 2020. I mean, it might not last long term, but I like some of their pieces.
So you think the Bills finally wins that division, not named New England?
Yeah, I'm going to go to Buffalo this year. And Belichick could very well prove me wrong there. But, and I like some of the things Miami's done, but it's still it's like they've collected a lot of different players, and I don't know how it's all going to fit with all the draft picks and free agency moves and where Buffalo, I feel like, has more of a solid foundation right now.
So where's your first AFC South team in that pecking order in the AFC?
I'm going to go Houston for now. Man, that's tough, though, because three of these four teams could be really good. And I'm tempted to go Colts because I think they have really, they might have one of the best backfields right now with Marlon Mack and Jonathan Taylor, who they added, who a lot of people thought was the best pure runner in the draft. But the Titans, with what they've done, you know, it's hard to argue with that. I'm going to go Texans right now, and I could be way off on that. But I'm going to bet on the quarterback making the huge year four jump. You know, he's got speed. He doesn't have DeAndre Hopkins anymore, but he's got speed and he's got running backs, and you know, that the offensive line should be improved. So let's go with Houston.
Jeremy Fowler is with us. And Jeremy, I know some of your colleagues on ESPN today were talking about the travel. And I was thinking to myself, you know, this happens a lot in NHL discussions, as you can imagine. The teams in the Eastern Conference travel way less than the teams in the Western Conference. And that's just a fact of life. In football, you don't hear about it as much. I mean, you travel once a week if you're traveling. But there was quite a disparity between a team like the Seahawks and a team like the Ravens, who seems like they're barely leaving the Eastern time zone.
Yeah, you're going to get that every year. I mean, I think Seattle goes into every season knowing that it's going to be a brutal stretch for them. Really just depends on which teams from the East are playing the NFC West, you know. Whoever does that has the longer haul. And so, you know, if you're Baltimore, you luck out a little bit. You know, the AFC North is paired with the NFC East, so you're right in the backyard there. So minimal travel for the Steelers, Ravens, and others.
Another thing that was noteworthy that they pointed out was the schedule for Tampa Bay. Obviously, they have a lot of games in prime time, but the other thing that was important was that they are not going to, on paper, play any bad weather games. And I didn't look at them game by game, but basically they're not having to go anywhere November or December where the weather could be iffy, and maybe that's a plus for Tom Brady.
I would say so. Well, the thing is, even if they had to play in bad weather, he's used to that. I mean, he can throw the ball in the cold and in the snow. A little surprising as a setup for them, but, you know, Tampa, with all their games in the South anyways, built into the division, you know, it sets up nicely. But, you know, you got Kansas City late November. I could see – oh, no, that's a home game. So, yeah, you're right. At Carolina, at Atlanta, at Detroit late in the year, but that's in a dome. So, set up pretty nicely. You know, November 2nd at New York could be a little cold. It could get a little snow there. It doesn't look like the gauntlet that Tom Brady's used to late in the year.
And you remember the weird stat way back in the day, the Buccaneers like had never won a game with the temperature below 40 degrees or something for a couple decades of their existence. Of course, their winning percentage wasn't great no matter what back then, but that was a stat I remember growing up following. Let me ask you this, Jeremy, before I turn it over to Chase. Jadeveon Clowney, if he were to sign with the Titans, what difference would it make in your mind where they fit in the grand scheme of things in the AFC?
I'm sorry, did you say about Clowney?
Yes.
If they added him?
Yeah, if they added him, what would that do to their positioning in your mind?
So, I mean, that's really, you look at their front defensively, it feels like they're missing one piece, whether that's Clowney or maybe Everson Griffin, or they get creative, get somebody who can rush on the interior. But they need one more guy up front, I feel like, and then they'll be in pretty good shape. You know, otherwise the moves they've made set up pretty nicely for what should be a very wide-open AFC South. I don't know that there's one team that's head and shoulders above the rest, because it's, you know, the tough part with Tennessee, and this is tough to project, is despite their strength on paper, and you know Mike Vrabel's teams are always going to be well-coached and defensively tough, you just don't know if Ryan Tannehill can duplicate what he did a year ago. And so that's the trickiest part to me. You know, you're counting on Derrick Henry being able to dominate games the way he did, and I think they can still do a lot of that. It's just they caught lightning in a bottle there late in the year, and it's going to be tough to replicate that. But even so, I expect it to be really tight between those three teams in the South, maybe more than we've ever seen with Jacksonville as the outside looking in.
Jeremy Fowler of ESPN here with us. So do you think there is a clear-cut front-runner for Jadeveon Clowney right now?
No, it's in a holding pattern right now, I think, because now he's willing to wait a little bit because if teams – reopen their facility soon, he can actually go into their building and say, look how healthy I am. Check me out. You know, because the core muscle surgery was gave some teams pause. Or even if it didn't give them pause, it took a little bit off their offer. You know, and he was never going to get that $20 million, it looks like. I think teams just didn't look at him as a top five pass rusher. But he's borderline top 10, which means that's the issue. It's like those kind of guys get paid close to $20 million, and teams just weren't willing to do that. So I think he's going to take a one-year deal somewhere. I still think Cleveland might revisit. They got really close with him. Tennessee is sort of waiting on him. I think they're willing to sign him, but at a price, you know. And Seattle, I think, is out of it at this point because, you know, their money was never really high, and I just don't think it's going to happen there. So I would say the Tennessee Tennessee or Cleveland at this point with maybe a surprise team. I know the Eagles have been mentioned as being involved, but, you know, I don't know if they're going to go that route, and they have a pretty good defensive front.
Jeremy, what do you think ends up happening at the end of the day with Cam Newton?
Oh, man, I don't see an opening right now. And I know there have been reports about him maybe willing to be able to take a backup job or being open to that, but I just don't know if that suits him, you know. I could see Seattle, if he's going to go that route, maybe just go for the fit and go Seattle, a place where you can run some play-action offense, and, you know, you're probably not going to play, but you just rebuild your brand for a year and then hit the market again, you know, when there's a need at quarterback. You know, that's the problem. You just, you know, Andy Dalton, you could sign him, and he can play as a starter or a backup. You know, Cam Newton is a starting quarterback. It's just hard to envision him as a backup, and he knows it, and teams know it. And he doesn't really even fit that mold. You know, it's almost like if you're going to sign him, you got to be all in. And nobody's all in because everybody has fit their need there. So I could even see him waiting and seeing if there's an injury or something happens at training camp where he's needed all of a sudden, you know. And then you have leverage and you can sign as a starter.
Did Jameis Winston signing with the Saints and basically saying, yeah, I'm going to be a backup to learn from Drew Brees, do you think that changed the market for Cam at all, or did it have a bearing on it?
No, because Jameis was in a different spot. I think Jameis had to accept that he was going to be a backup before Cam did. It was well known that Jameis wasn't going to get a starting job at that point once the Bucs moved on. So he had to decide, you know, do you go for the fit, knowing that you can follow the Teddy Bridgewater model and maybe play in a few games, but you sit behind Drew Brees, learn a lot, and try to boost your value for 2021. You know, that wasn't really the play for Cam. Plus, he got cut a little later than when Jameis became a true free agent. You know, he had a little more of a head start. So I don't think it really affected him, and I don't think Andy Dalton really affects Cam Newton at all. He's just – they're very different in their style of play. So if you're going to sign Cam, it's sort of isolated from other quarterbacks. It's just it's a different dynamic with what he offers as a runner and a passer.
Last thing, Jeremy, we did our top 10 power rankings in both conferences, just overall in the league. And I want to phrase this question this way to wrap this up. A playoff team last year that you suspect, if things don't fall into place, they're not going to be in the playoffs again this year. Who would you have as a playoff team last year that you could see them missing the playoffs this year? How would you answer that?
Well, I'm going to point to Green Bay, which is interesting because I think their over-under is 8.5, which I expect them to win more than that. But it's hard to see them duplicating the 13 wins. And, you know, even though Aaron Rodgers, I think, is going to come out firing and have a pretty good year, maybe have like a spite season after what happened with them drafting Jordan Love. But I don't know if they have enough firepower to sustain. You know, the Eagles are a team that you know, they limped into the playoffs, and they should have more firepower this year, but I'm still not wholly convinced there. So that's another one that comes to mind.
That's interesting. Green Bay was one we definitely pointed at. Hey, thanks for the visit. Really appreciate it.
Hey, anytime, guys. Thanks.
All right, that is Jeremy Fowler. He's at J Fowler ESPN. He is ESPN's senior NFL reporter, and we do appreciate him joining us. We will come back. More of Darren, Donnick, and Chase next.
L-E-D-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.